Matthew chapter 10. Just want to read one verse. We'll take our thought from here. We'll be eventually getting over the book of Philippians or the points of the message. But Matthew 10, verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Those, of course, are the words of Christ. He's speaking to his own. He's speaking concerning living life. They are words that reveal that life is directional. It is every life is lived with regard to something. It is lived in respect of something. It's lived in behalf of something. That is, life must be lived with our attention upon something. And this is a principle that's being taught here. In these words, Christ reveals here that there is something that conducts our lives, something that defines our lives. So what we have here is a principle concerning living life. Christ is saying to live for the temporal, to live for self, the individual that does that will lose their life in the temporal or self. But to deny such a life and to live for his sake, that of course is real living. Christ is saying that the one who seeks and perhaps even gains the temporal at the expense of the eternal, keep in mind he's speaking to his own people, at the expense of the eternal, really loses their life. They lose true life. But on the other hand, the one who is willing to forego the temporal for Christ, in the highest sense, that individual finds life. He's not talking in this verse about salvation. He's talking about his people living life. Now, throughout the centuries, people have been trying to identify and define the good life. The good life. And I believe Christ defines it here in verse 39 with three words: for my sake. You live life for his sake or for him. That's a good life. That's a good life. For centuries, people have been seeking to answer what is the best use. What is the best use that you and I can make of our years, our days on this earth? Again, Christ answers that question. The best use that you and I can make of our lives is to live our lives in relation. Again, life is directional. It's lived in relation to something. The best use that we can make of our lives is to live our life in relation to Christ or in the direction of Jesus Christ. So that raises some questions for you and I that are saved. Again, life is directional. We all live for something. somebody. How much of Christ is in our lives? Again, we need to ask these questions personally of ourselves. How much of Christ, if you and I were to examine all our interests, and we have many interests, but if we were to examine all of our interests in this life, how much of Christ is in our interests? How much of Christ is in our ways? We all have ways. We all have ways of living. We have habits. How much of Christ is in our ways? How much of Christ is in our opinions? We all have opinions. How much of Christ is in our opinions? We all have feelings. How much of Christ is in our feelings? How much of Christ is in our moods? How much of Christ is in our viewpoints? How much of Christ is in our pursuits? We all have goals. How much of Christ is in our goals? We all make choices. We make choices every day. How much of Christ is in our choices? We make plans. We all have plans. How much of Christ is in our plans? We all have attitudes. Our attitudes can change from moment to moment. But how much of Christ is in our attitudes? For those that are married, how much of Christ is in your marriage? How much of Christ is in your home? We all come here to worship. How much of Christ is in our worship? We all have hopes. How much of Christ is in our hopes? How much of Christ is in our expectations? I believe we need to make earnest and honest examination. Just how much of Christ is there in our lives? We are saved because of Christ. We've been rescued from the chains of Satan and chains of sin and death and hell, all because of Christ. Been set free from the guilt and condemnation of sin because of Christ. Because of Christ, we've been cleansed from sin. Because of Christ, we've been delivered from the darkness and the ignorance of sin. To a degree, from the sickness of sin. From the dominion of sin. Sin is no longer to have dominion in our lives, and this is all because of Christ. Because of Christ, we've been brought out of spiritual bankruptcy, been brought out of spiritual oppression and the hopelessness of sin, been brought out because of Christ. We've been brought out of alienation from God, estrangement from God. Because of Christ, we've passed from death unto life. We've been reconciled to God. We've been justified. We've been accepted. We've been changed. And it's all because of Christ. We are on our way to heaven rather than hell because of Christ. So how much of Christ is in our lives? To what degree do we live our lives in the direction of Jesus Christ? So that'll be our subject this evening, is how much of Christ is in our life? How much of Christ is is in our lives. We'll be using Paul as an example of Christ in a life, and we'll be taking our thoughts from the book of Philippians. As we said this morning, the central character of Philippians is Christ. 104 verses, he mentions Christ well over 50 times. The theme of the book is living a Christ-centered life, or having Christ in our lives. The book is an encouragement to live life in Christ, to live life reflecting Jesus Christ, to live life pursuing Jesus Christ, to keep moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. Throughout the book, Paul is teaching that there ought to be a direct correlation between our lives and Christ. So in the book of Philippians, we really get a pretty good picture of the heart of Paul, his feelings, his mindset, his determination, his devotion toward Christ. It's sort of like an open window into his heart. But again, as we look at this, we must examine how much of Christ is in my life, how much of Christ is in our lives. Or more importantly, how much of Christ do we want in our lives? How much room are we willing to make for Christ in our lives? Considering, again, that all the blessings that we have in Christ, we need to ask that question in light of that. How much room are we willing to make for Jesus Christ in our lives? We'll look at 4 points from the book of Philippians, all very familiar passages of Scripture. We're going to see, first of all, that Christ was the purpose of Paul's life, and Christ ought to be the purpose of our life. Philippians 1, verse 21 says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." But just think about the first part of that statement. For me to live is Christ. In those words, Paul is stating what life meant to him. Paul, what does life mean to you? Christ. That was his answer. For me to live is Christ. What is living? Christ was Paul's answer. For me to live is Christ. Paul is saying, for me, living is Christ. It's personal. He speaks in the first person. For me to live is Christ. For me, Christ. For me, Christ. Again, life must have an object. Life must have a purpose. Life must have a supreme thing. Life must have something that dominates our way of living. Paul says, for me, that's Christ. That was his purpose. That needs, of course, to be our purpose. Life must have a central interest. It must have a central passion. Nothing wrong with having interests. We all have various interests. It's where we put those interests that matters. But our central interest and what ought to fill be a part of every interest we have is Christ. Paul says, for me, Christ. There is something in every life that shapes that life. Something in every life that is an influential force in that life. There's no getting around it. Paul says, what shapes my life is Christ. The influential force in my life, Paul says, is Christ. For me, Christ is what Paul is saying. Life must have something that is the most meaningful. Every one of us has something that means more to us than anything else. That ought to be Christ or the Lord. Paul says, what makes life meaningful to me is Christ. For me to live is Christ. That explains the place that Christ had in Paul's life. Christ was his goal. Christ was his aim, his choice. Christ was his life. Again, we must make personal examination. How much of Christ is in our purpose of living? We have to have a purpose for living. How much room in our purpose is there for Christ? How much room in our life, in our life's purpose, is there for Christ? So, Christ is to be the purpose of our life. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, Paul gets on the subject of church unity. But he says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he is stating the pattern of life. Life must have a purpose. Life must have a pattern. That is, there's something that we model our life after. We have an example. There's an example we follow in our lives. There's a criteria. There's a standard. There's a reference point. There's a benchmark. Paul is saying, for me, that is Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. No human being is a rule to themselves. No child of God is a rule to themselves. No human being is their own guide. People say, well, I'm my own man. I'm my own person. Oh, you just think you are. You belong to somebody. Something controls your life. You're a slave to something. Christ is to be our pattern. Christ is to be our master. He is our pattern in every circumstance. There is not a circumstance in life that can occur in which Christ is not our pattern. He is our pattern in every place. He is our pattern in every aspect of our lives. He is our pattern. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He is our pattern in purity. He is our pattern in holiness. He is our pattern in obedience to the Father's will. In Him we see a pattern for self-denial. He is our pattern in activity and diligence. He is our pattern in humility and lowliness and contentment. The life that we, the children of God, are called to live, that we have the privilege to live, that we have the opportunity to live, and that we are responsible to live, is not a haphazard, do-as-you-please life. Christ is our pattern. Our life is not just to be a random thing. It is precise in terms of behavior, in terms of inward thought, in terms of belief. It is all to be even as Christ. 1 John 2 and verse 6. So again, we must make personal examination. How much of our life is lived in imitation of Christ? How much of our life is lived in conformity to Jesus Christ? How much room are we willing to make for Christ-likeness? How much room do we have for Christ? Thirdly, Philippians chapter 3, Christ is the pursuit of Paul's life. We've preached from this passage many times, but again, reading there from verse 10 through verse 14, we won't read those verses, but Paul in those verses uses seven phrases concerning himself in relation to Christ that reveal, these seven phrases reveal his mindset, reveal the desire of his heart. And they all have to do with Christ. He says in verse 10, that I might know him. He was pursuing that. He says in verse 11, I might attain. In verse 12, I follow after. In verse 12 again, that I may apprehend. That is, that I might lay hold of. Lay hold of that for which I'm laid hold of. This one thing I do. Verse 13. This one thing. That is, there's a master passion in his life. This one thing. He talks about reaching forth in verse 13. In verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark. Paul is expressing his pursuit of Jesus Christ. He's expressing his longing to have more of Christ in his life. Christ is in his life. But his pursuit is to have more of Christ in his life. Because Paul knew that there was no condition, there was no situation, there was no circumstance, there was no sin, there was no enslavement, there was no problem, no difficulty, no trial, no affliction, no need beyond the person and power of Jesus Christ. And he wanted more of Christ. More and more of Christ. And he is pursuing Jesus Christ. Again, there's nothing wrong with having goals. But our chief goal must be Christ. All other goals are subject to that. If that's not the case, you have misplaced goals. He knew that everything about Christ was for his good. Is there anything about Christ that is not for our good? Not for our happiness. And knowing that everything about Christ was for his good and for his happiness, he just wanted more. He wanted more of Christ. He knew that in Christ he would find light. He knew that in Christ he could find hope and strength. So he wanted more. He knew that in Christ he could find refreshment. He could find relief. In Christ he could find joy. In Christ he could find comfort. Now if you know that, then it's a no-brainer. I want more of Christ. People want refreshment, they want relief, they want joy. No one wants to be miserable, but they do all the things that cause misery. They go to all the wrong places. These things are found in Christ. Paul knew that he could find assurance in Christ. He knew that in Jesus Christ he could find encouragement. He could find peace. He could find sustaining and satisfaction and contentment. He could find spiritual rejuvenation in Christ. He knew that in Christ there was victory. So knowing these things, he wants more and more of Christ. Christ was his constant pursuit. That needs to be our constant pursuit. What other things we may pursue, Christ must be our chief pursuit. You cannot be right with God unless Christ is your pursuit. Unless he's your pattern. Cannot be right with God unless he's your purpose. So again, we must ask the question, how much of Christ is in our pursuits? Think about all the things that we have pursued just since the day we've been saved. How much of Christ is in our pursuits? We could also answer that question by asking the opposite, how much of self is in our pursuits? How much room are we willing to make for Christ in our pursuits? The truth is, many have so many pursuits that they don't have room to pursue Christ. Seems to me that there needs to be some pursuits eliminated. So how much room are we willing to make for our pursuits, for Christ in our pursuits? Fourthly, in Philippians 4 and verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Before that, he talked about being abased. He talked about abounding. Talked about being full, talked about being hungry. And he says, I can do all things through Christ. That is, I may be in a condition where I'm abased or hungry, but I can do all things through Christ. I may be in a condition where I'm abounding or where I'm full. I can do all things through Christ. Circumstances do not change. I can do all things through Christ. That is the circumstances of abounding or being abased. So how much of our lives do we live in the reality of those words? I can do all things through Christ. Why? Because he strengthens me. These words, again, cover our circumstances. They cover our duties, our responsibilities, the Christian life. Whatever God demands of us, we can do through him. So he's the channel. He's the power. of our life. He's the power of our life. I can do all things through Him. Through Him, I can do. Jesus told His church, without me, you can do nothing. That's hard for a lot of people to swallow. I've had people argue with me about that. Well, don't argue with me. I'm not the one who said it. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. But I can, through Christ, serve the Lord with all my heart. I can do that through Christ. I can, through Christ, follow the Lord wherever He leads. People will say, well, I could never go to such and such place. You can through Christ. Or I could never leave such and such. You can through Christ. I can, through Christ, follow the Lord wherever He leads. I can, through Christ, put God first in all things. It's what the Lord tells us to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He's to be first. Again, Ten Commandments. And I can do that through Christ. It's the only way it can be done. I can, through Christ, forsake whatever needs to be forsaken. For His honor and for His glory. People say, oh, I could never give up such and such. That's not the issue. The issue, what they're really saying is, I won't. Because the Bible says you can. Through Christ, you can forsake whatever needs to be forsaken. Through Christ, we can be surrendered to His will. We can be surrendered to His ways. Through Christ, I can, through Christ, do whatever He can, whatever He commands. I can, through Christ, be whatever He's called me to be. I can, through Christ, live above the world's ways. I can, through Christ, live above the world's thinking. Many today seem to think that it's not possible. You can't live above the world's ways. You can't live above the world's thinking. You can through Christ. I can through Christ live above all the things that the world pursues. Again, I know what century it is. And I know what the world pursues. But God's people do not have to fall into that trap. We can, through Christ, pursue that which we ought to pursue. We don't have to be caught up in the world's desires. We can rise above all of these things through Christ. People say, well, we just have to try harder. You just keep on trying, you're going to fail. I'm not saying you shouldn't try, but there's only one way to try, and that's through Christ. I can, through Christ, live victoriously over sin. Through Christ, we can do it. Through Christ, we can get victory over every sin in our lives. But people seem to think that there's certain sins in their lives, it's just meant to be that's the thing they drag around with them all their lives. Well, you won't find that anywhere in the Word of God. You can live victoriously over any sin through Christ. I can, through Christ, endure all things. Well, I could never go through that. Yes, you can, through Christ. Through Christ, I can do all things. These words teach us that we should look at all of our duties to God with joy. Because we are able, through Christ, to fulfill each one. We need not sink under the under the weight of any trial, because we can, through Christ, overcome. Why? Because He strengthens us. So that leads us to the question, how much of Christ, how much is Christ the power of our lives? How much of Christ is the channel of our lives? In closing, again, we just want to ask several questions. How much of our lives are lived with regard to Christ? How much of our lives are lived in behalf of Christ? How much of our lives are lived with our attention focused upon Christ? How much attention does Jesus Christ get in any given day? How much of Christ is in the direction of our lives? How much of our lives are moving in the direction of Jesus Christ? May I say, whatever area of my life, whatever area of your life is not moving in the direction of Christ, you're going the wrong way. We're going the wrong way. How much of our lives are defined by Jesus Christ? Our lives are defined by something. One may be defined by they're a good mother, or a good father, a good husband, a good wife, a good worker. Defined by a career. Lives are defined. One's life might be defined by drugs or alcohol or immorality. But everyone has that which defines who they are. How much of our lives are defined by Christ? How much of a correlation is there to Christ in the lives that we live? Again, how much of Christ is in our purposes? How much of Christ is in our pattern? How much of Christ is in our pursuit? How much of Christ is the power of our lives? Again, let's go back to Matthew 10. I just want to read that verse again. It'll still say the same thing. But in Matthew 10, verse 39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it." How sad. God has given us the abundant life. How sad. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. But how sad it is to lose a life. And I'm not talking about death either. "And he that loseth his life loses his self in Christ shall find it." That's real living. Do we realize, how much do we realize that the best and the most useful life that we can live is to lose ourselves in Christ? That's the best life there is. That's the best life that there is. That's the most useful life, the most enjoyable life that there is. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, how much or how well do I know Christ? How well do I know Him? How much of Christ is in my life? May I say, the more we know Him, the more He'll be in our lives. One question answers the other, really. How much of Christ is in our lives. And whatever the answer is, there's room for more. How much room are we willing to make? How much more room are we willing to make for Christ? Lives get more and more crowded all the time. Crowded and packed full with the things of the world. People boast in how busy they are. I mean, it's like a badge of honor. It's not necessarily a good thing. Depends what you're busy in. And sometimes we're too busy. And sometimes we filled our lives with a bunch of junk. And we filled our lives with things that do not matter. And just like every now and then you got to clean out your garage or you got to clean out your shed or whatever. You need to clean out some junk in our lives, so that we could have more room for Christ. You realize that almost all churches in our fellowship used to have 7-day revival meetings. Now it's down to a weekend. Why is that? Because people don't have time. People are working. They don't have time. We've filled our lives with a bunch of stuff that does not matter. And we have lost our lives in that stuff. We've lost our lives in that. But all to live in Christ. God help us to have more and more and more of Christ in our lives. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us first song.